hear ye. A man who built this show brick by brick with hand in the dirt takes, only to see it all burned to the ground by a fantasy football comedian. Welcome back to the show, Evan Silva. We are all very honored to have you today.
It's good to be back. I didn't know that this show was still around, but I guess you guys...
Neither did we, but...
I've watched it a couple times, but maybe once. But it used to be on Fridays. You know, we would do it when we had a lot of information.
Yeah.
And it would be, what, Friday at 3 or something like that? And now it's Wednesday at...
It would be Friday at like 6.
Okay.
It was because remember the famous moment we found out Marshawn wasn't playing, right? Really, really late in the game.
That's always right.
How I remember.
That's right.
Soccer Dave knows all and had to move the show to when we don't know anything about the slate. So
yeah.
Well, now it's the only really first look show in the industry. Like, there's a lot of content that gets out there later in the week, but we're really kind of the first people that, you know, get in and crack the eggs of the slate.
Yeah.
That's the idea.
So where are you at right now, kind of on this week with your process? I know you've probably watched all the games from last week on your phone and kind of diving into the injury reports, matchup column. You know, we got a Google draft going or what?
The injury report isn't even out yet. You know, the first practice participation report has not even come out yet. So I know what happened in last week's games, but I'm like still at the point where I'm, you know, kind of figuring out exactly how I view each game. And, you know, I don't really have, I have a few strong takes, but it like four, you know, like four maybe. So
that's all you need to get by on this show. It's like one or two strong takes.
Yeah. And with the introduction of, you know, the COVID list and the changing rules, I mean, this is a really tough time to talk about the slate, as you guys all know. So, you know, I was just wondering, like, do you guys want to talk about Omicron?
I would love to, actually.
Yeah,
let's make it political.
Full epidemiology episode, I think, would be good.
Why don't we toss it now? Normally, when I'm a panelist, I give the Overzet overview of the week. But because I'm hosting, I am going to toss it to Davis Maddock for Maddock's Overzet overview of the week. Davis, lay a foundation, a bedrock, if you will, for our Week 16 outlook here.
Well, we have some key running back injuries that are really going to influence the slate. Austin Ekeler may or may not be on the COVID list, sort of a Schrodinger's COVID list, if you will. Rap Sheet said he was, then team sources said he wasn't. They play at the Houston Texans, and his backups are all very cheap. Justin Jackson is $4,200. The rest of them are minimum priced. That's going to have a huge impact on the slate. Joe Mixon twisted his ankle late against Denver. Zach Taylor said he didn't know if he was going to be available. Then today he said he's going to be limited in practice all week. We may or may not get DeAndre Swift back at $6,300 on DraftKings against the Atlanta Falcons. That one will be pretty big. But probably the biggest cloud hanging over the slate is what's going on in Kansas City, because according to the new rules that got passed last week, theoretically, Tyreek and Travis Kelce shouldn't have even been tested, because apparently the new rule is that asymptomatic players who are vaccinated are not going to be tested. So either they self-reported symptoms or they both randomly got tested. And they have some unvaccinated teammates, Harrison Butker not going to play. But, you know, we could have Tyreek back or we couldn't. We could have Travis Kelce back or we couldn't. Josh Gordon is also on the COVID-19 list. So, and they have one of the highest team totals of the week, which is, they probably don't even deserve it without Tyreek and Kelce, to be honest. And then also the Tampa Bay situation. I mean, we're looking at record ownership for none other than Ronald Jones, who I think it's really just the universe's way of welcoming Silva back to a comforting environment as he logs on for Pete and I to talk about Ronald Jones.
Yeah, Silva, do you have any comments? You've, you know, called some of the Rojo truthers, I believe, spreadsheet socialists is what you told me behind closed doors. Are you going to retract your statement?
No, because Rojo's, by that.
He's going to shove it down your throat this week.
I mean, I'm playing Ronald Jones, so, you know.
Best game of his career, 190 yards and 2 touchdowns against the Carolina Panthers.
That's right. And he had, in four instances, Leonard Fournette missed games last year, and Ronald Jones' touch counts were all between like 19 and 28. Giovanni Bernard is also on injured reserve. So we're talking about, and I think Keyshawn Vaughn is going to play in passing situations. Then they picked up Le'Veon Bell to be like a, probably a designated pass protector, but he probably won't be ready to go right away. I think, but Ronald Jones, I think he'll catch some passes on early downs from Tom Brady. Tom Brady throws the ball on early downs. He'll take what the defense gives him. And Ronald Jones is a good runner. The reason I've been so sharply critical of him is because he's a complete, like, you cannot put him next to Tom Brady, 44-year-old Tom Brady, and expect him to pick up a blitz. He's going to whiff. Tom Brady doesn't trust him in that respect. He's never caught passes, which is why it's so strange that the spreadsheet socialist cult, which doesn't let you draft a running back until the 10th round, or they scorn you, you know, they try to cancel you if you do so. It's so strange that they love this guy, even though he's completely incompetent in the passing game. Just doesn't make sense. It's cultish behavior by these people. But Ronald Jones as a runner, he's good. Okay.
He's fine.
Good. Right. And you know, it's going to be a positive game script situation for him. I think in that game though, who also is interesting, and I think we'll jump right into the Chris Godwin role, is going to be Tyler Johnson.
Are you not thinking that Antonio Brown is going to play, or just that?
Yeah, I think it's going to be Antonio Brown and Brashad Perryman on the outside in three receiver sets, and then Tyler Johnson as the Chris Godwin replacement.
Man, I've been waiting for Tyler Johnson to happen for a long time. So to my ears, bud.
We haven't got to really hear from Tuttle yet. Tuttle, I'm going to throw this to you by saying, if you were to use the bonus code GrindersBet at our sponsor, BetMGM, and get $10, bet $10 and get 200 instantly, would you take the over or the under on Tampa Bay, Carolina, 44 points right now?
I'm going under there.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll take all the under on all the Ronald Jones props too this week. You know, he's going to foul to pick up that blitz early in the game, and he's going to get on Brady's shit list, and he's going to ride the pine the rest of the game. No, but that is his path to failure if you're looking for like a reason to fade Rojo, who again is going to see record ownership this week. That's pretty much the path to failure, is he pisses Brady off and then he rides the pine.
I mean, fumbles, by the way,
blows a blitz pickup, you know, drops two passes on the first drive. Like, those things are in play.
We've done this before with Ronald Jones. It was a Thursday night game, and Fournette was out, and one of their LeSean McCoy was out of this game, and they ran Kenyon Barner on every third down. I can't remember exactly which game it was, but Kenyon Barner played every third down. Ronald Jones did not get a single. I mean, I would set the over under on pass blocking snaps for Ronald Jones at like 1.5, and I would maybe even be tempted on BetMGM. Promo code GrindersBet to take the under on 1.5.
We need a GrindersBet MGM partner to release a line on how many broken tablets for Tom Brady when Ronald Jones is missing blitz pickups. Silva, let's transition here into quarterback. What are we seeing? We do have Herbert. We have Mahomes up here on the top end. Maybe a little love for Jalen Hurts. What's your preview of the quarterback landscape for week 16?
Yeah, you know, I don't know, man. I don't know. I just, it's too early in the week to talk about this stuff. I mean, it's you can find the takes behind the paywall at Establish the Run.
It's gonna be a long show. We still got about 50 minutes left.
Jalen Hurts season, man.
Why don't we do a rewatch of the movie Outbreak? I think Silva's an expert on that movie.
No, Contagion.
Contagion.
Contagion. Yeah.
Yeah. So my quarterback take is that absolutely fucking nobody is going to want to play Lamar Jackson. Nobody is going to want to play Lamar Jackson against a team who he has like treated like his little kid brother. His games against the Bengals have been absurd. I think he got the double bonus against them last year. Lamar's career best highlight came against the Bengals, the six spin move touchdown run. But you know, the combination of Huntley playing well when he is out, Herbert's on the slate with a good matchup. Tom Brady has cheap double stack options. Josh Allen must win game for the division. He's getting pumped up in the projections. Mahomes with the cheap double stack options. Stafford and Kupp. I think we'll see like 3% ownership on Lamar here.
I like that kind of stack.
I want to jump in with, I think it's a potential Joe Burrow week.
Yeah.
Against Baltimore.
So bad. Yeah.
First of all, we got Joe Mixon nicked up. We have the full three receiver set for the Bengals, all healthy. This Ravens secondary has just been getting pounded by vertical shots, and the Bengals passing offense has been among the most aggressive going vertical across the NFL. Jamar Chase has an almost 13-yard ADOT. He's had one good game like in the last 2 months. And so I think people might be cautious to play him because he has not been hitting, but man, this game sets up really well for him on paper. And because T. Higgins has been playing so well, and then we saw Tyler Boyd have a big game last week, I think that helps Jamar Chase, because I think that the Ravens would be less likely to do what they did to Devontae Adams last week. And Devontae Adams was still all right, 6 for 44 and 1, but I think Jamar Chase is going to get loose for a big one. T. Higgins might too. I mean, it's T. Higgins' ADOT is 12.1. So it's not far off of Jamar Chase. And I think all that adds up. Like Joe Burrow's in a good spot this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the Joe Burrow call there. Anything like vomit stack worthy in
Jake Fromm and Cash? Jake Fromm and Cash. That's all I'm saying.
Bring Soccer Dave.
Yeah, no Soccer Dave here. So we'll leave the Jake Fromm takes for behind the Roto Grinders paywall. But anything here with Matt Ryan and Jared Goff in this game? Could this get a little crooked?
I could see a goof vomit stack. The issue you run into there, who are you paying up for this week? I guess Dalvin Cook. I guess Cooper Kupp. But like the idea,
you guess Cooper Kupp,
right? So
Goof is on the COVID list too, fellas.
Yeah, but so the way I'm treating the COVID list this week is with the new rules, they're trying to get these guys to play, and Goof said he is asymptomatic. So
no, he's got symptoms.
Oh, I thought he was saying. Yeah. So I because he had the flu like 2 weeks ago, and he was like, I had the flu, and they let me play. But so I thought he was saying he doesn't feel sick. So never mind.
Is it still Blau? Is Blau still the backup in Detroit?
No, remember it's they started someone else. It was Tim Boyle. They've already done this year.
Yeah, but I mean, God, Tim Boyle was so bad. You got to think You got to think they go back to bling blang Blau.
Bling blang Blau. Yeah.
Silva, what's the take here on Josh Allen rematch against New England? Is this angry history's, Josh Allen?
History's not good between Josh Allen and Bill Belichick. Josh Allen has had one good game. They played six times. Josh Allen has had one good game.
Has Josh Allen even had one good game this whole season?
Stop it.
Dude, Josh Allen's 2020 looking like, honestly, an all-time aberration.
What? No.
We're talking
dude,
about
Davis.
Fantasy, Davis.
Davis is throwing.
Seven point one YPA. He's doing his best Andy Dalton impression this year for the Bills.
Yeah, that's not a great YPA, but he's been good in fantasy. I think he's got 17 or more points in all but one start in fantasy. He can play bad in a game.
He
can play bad in the game and still be fine in fantasy. I like the Patriots D here. I mean, I think that this is a coming off the loss. I mean, they got dominated against the Colts. They have a little bit extra time to prepare. The history is strong for Belichick against Josh Allen. And so I think it's a Patriots D moment.
All right.
Yeah, but don't you think he's angry though? You won't like Josh Allen when he's angry, bro.
Wait, why would he be angry?
Because he heard the spreadsheet socialist talking about his YPA on the Swolecast.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I can't even believe I'm doing this, but like, what are they going to do without Beasley and Sanders? Is Tommy Sweeney going to be out there a bunch? Or are they giving Isaiah McKenzie gadget snaps? Like, what's the plan for them? Beasley, no Sanders.
Diggs, this guy by the name of Gabriel Davis, who's like been the hottest receiver east of Cooper Kupp for the last six weeks.
Right?
And Isaiah motherfucking McKenzie.
I know. It's just like, I think we've learned, especially, I mean, the Brady thing has been so illustrative of like the relationship between wide receiver skill and quarterback performance. Like the second Godwin and Evans left the field, Brady looks like shit.
It's irrelevant here. I mean, the Bills still have Stephon Diggs and Gabriel Davis and Dawson Knox, who can play.
Who they don't even throw the ball to. They don't even throw the ball to Diggs. He gets like 6.5 targets a game.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to say.
That's false.
I feel like we're back 4 years ago on the Swolecast at 6 p.m.
I am a little worried that losing Beasley and Sanders and then going up against Bill Belichick.
I mean, popping in the age model hard. I mean, Emmanuel Sanders is 34. Had done nothing in months, okay, before he got hurt. Pulling him out was a good thing for the Bills' offense.
Replacing his snaps with Gabriel Davis was good.
Davis, what are you doing?
No, that was good.
What are you doing?
But now Cole we're
Beasley,
talking.
I mean, he's okay, but he really, I mean, you really think he moves the needle?
He's fine, but he serves a big role for them.
90% of Cole Beasley from Isaiah McKenzie. We can
so
do
are we
that.
Touting, are we touting Isaiah McKenzie?
No, we're touting the Patriots' defense.
Fair enough.
All right.
That's the best part about this argument is that Silva wasn't even bullish on Buffalo here.
Well, Davis just started saying things that were false.
Welcome to our world.
Sir, have you watched the show?
Welcome to this podcast, man.
All right, Silva, we're going to build a lineup on DraftKings.com. We don't normally start with the defensive spot, but man, it feels like you might want to start with the
defensive
spot.
Feels like we
got to
go with the Patriots.
Yeah. I mean, let's do it. Let's do it.
$2,900. It's cheap.
Guys, should we all ask Silva our seasonal start sits for what we need in our fantasy football semifinals?
Imagine being in your fantasy football semifinals. All right, Tuttle, we have Patriots defense. You're next.
Can I do the thing where I pick two guys?
Yes.
For the
I think everyone here is begging for other people to make.
You
the
could
takes.
Do four if you'd like.
No, I'm going to because you guys touched on this game at the QB position. Silva's high on the Bengals passing attack. Davis likes Baltimore. I'm going Marquise Brown and Ja'Marr Chase.
Little mini correlation.
Yeah, it's the mini correlation.
Mm.
Silva, would you say that's hot?
Marquise got Lamar back, at least. He's got Lamar back. Yeah.
I mean, no one's going to play Marquise, that's for sure. I mean, people will probably chase.
He got 14 targets last week.
Yeah. I'm good with it. And then, I mean, let's play Lamar then, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or I guess we could play Burrow. I don't know. Who's up next? Davis?
Davis is up next.
Well, I'll use Lamar as my pick. That's fine.
All right. I guess I have to put Ronald Jones in this lineup. Just feels right, you know?
Big
feels
time.
Feels right. All right, back to you.
People were saying that you couldn't play James Robinson in tournaments last week.
You could.
And guess what? He was in the Millie Maker lineup.
Oh, man. Last week, I want last week, like,
you know where that
records?
Was coming from? The spreadsheet socialist echo chamber.
Yeah. And sometimes that spreadsheet socialist echo chamber is coming from inside the house, Silva. All right, who are you picking after? We got Lamar Jackson, to Marquise Brown, Ja'Marr Chase, bring back Ronald Jones, and the Patriots defense.
Yep. How about David Montgomery?
I love it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Davis is shook.
We're just going full hand. I mean, I hate David Montgomery. Always.
You could learn from Evan here. Evan used to be a David Montgomery hater. He trusts the process. He's willing to change his mind on
this
a player.
This is like touting Jeremy Langford, so I'll accept it.
Oh, and then Jeremy Langford went just nuts that one time, right? What was it against?
I think it was against the Rams.
It was in a bad spot.
It was a horrible spot, and he had 250 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Yeah.
All right, okay. Tuttle, back to you.
Word on the street is this guy might get somebody that can actually throw him the ball. He's seen the targets. Now he just needs perhaps a little bit more accuracy. DJ Moore, 5,700. Give us the Ronald Jones mini correlation.
Garrett Gilbert is going to start for the Panthers this week.
I mean, I would take that, honestly.
Mm-hmm. We now have 5,400 remaining for a tight end and a flex. Davis, I believe it's you.
We got to go Noah Gray, right?
Who?
He's the only tight end.
If Kelsey's out, Kelsey's gonna play, right?
Blake Bell is on the COVID list too. Noah Gray is there, and Jody Fortson is on the IR. He's their only tight end on the roster. They don't even have anyone on the practice squad.
You just want to make Steven have to release a updated video about making a pivot to this lineup.
I do, but then we can go Dalvin Cook and Justin Jefferson. Easy game.
All right, there it is. Davis just kind of bullied his way into rounding out this lineup without any more.
Who are we going, Dalvin or Justin?
Way lower owned, Justin Jefferson.
Isn't he afraid of Jalen Ramsey though?
Stop! People need to stop with this. DK Metcalf was wide open like 900 times last night.
What happened to Russ, man? It's sad.
It was actually bumming me out to watch. It just felt like every time he dropped back, it was like he's just going to get sacked or he's going to skip the ball at Freddie Swain's feet. It's like, what's the point? The 3rd and 6 run when they're trying to – that sent me. Like, that was amazing. Like, that was Pete Carroll being – he just has lost control of the ship. Like, the 3rd and 6 run was amazing.
Silva, does Pete Carroll have to go?
Yeah.
All right. We have made a lineup. We will update you if you need to remove Noah Gray. I can't imagine why you would ever have to do that, though. Let's head over to the running back position. We have already talked about Rojo a little bit. Silva, sounds like you like Montgomery. Anyone else standing out for you here on this fine Wednesday afternoon?
Yeah. David Montgomery against Seattle. I mean, Seattle is giving up almost 170 total yards per game to opposing RBs. David Montgomery is just going to be out there a ton and get a ton of touches. So that's why I like him.
And they didn't even play Damian Williams last week.
No. Herbert played a little bit, but not enough to be a concern. David Montgomery is one of these backs that like has 25 touch upside in a given game. And I mean, I don't know. I think the Bears could beat the Seahawks, but yeah. Either way, he's going to be in there and catching passes. James Robinson is in a similar spot against the Jets. Actually markedly better matchup. The Jets are like historically bad against the run and just get hemorrhaging fantasy points all over the place to opposing RBs. James Robinson comes in there, or they fire Urban Meyer. Daryl Bevel is now the head coach. Brian Schottenheimer, who loves the run, comes in. He's the play caller now for the Jags. James Robinson has 21 touches this past week, his most since week 3. And he's playing the Jets.
Carlos Hyde's on the IR.
And Carlos Hyde, yeah, he was out last week. We're kind of worried, if he comes back, might he play? Well, he's not going to play because he went on the IR. So yeah. Those are a couple guys that stick out to me.
He's so gonna get there, and it's just terrible because I hate watching James Robinson play football.
Wow. James Robinson, he's got that pluckiness, the underdog story to his name.
He's just like a symptom of the Jacksonville disease. Like that somehow like this.
No,
like,
ETN's the symptom of the disease. Like they plucked him off the trash heap and he crushed for them, and then they wasted a pick that they didn't need to do.
That's fair. I don't know. Go ahead.
Pete, what were you going to say, Tuttle?
I might dupe you because I don't know what contest you're putting this
in. Yeah.
Dude, there's no free roll on DraftKings. They rugged us this week.
Wow. Rugged by DraftKings.
On Christmas? Oh, my gosh.
Do they not know about the Modelo Especial free roll for freedom?
Maybe Visa bought the dip on the CryptoPunk floor and they can't do these free rolls anymore. All right, I guess – you know what? With Silva here, I feel like I just have to toss it into the Millie Maker. Is pretty much what we got to do with that lineup.
Noah Gray, generational wealth.
Any other running back plays here? Michael Carter burned a lot of people last week. It seemed like that was maybe a little game script dependent just because they were up and
he's
weren't
out.
Checking down.
I think he's out.
No,
I think
the wrong, shoulder Michael Carter. Wrong. Safety Michael Carter's on the COVID list.
Oh, okay. Okay.
The Jets are such a poverty franchise. It's like, it's unbelievable. Like, great. You have a safety the same name as your running back. Like,
that makes them a poverty
franchise. I feel
Miles Sanders looks spry.
Oh, yeah. He looked good last
night.
Yeah.
God, he looked good.
There are actually quite
a touchdown to save his freaking life, though, man. I mean, He literally has zero touchdowns on the year. Is that right?
I think that's right. Yeah.
I think that's right. I mean, there are quite a few running back plays.
Pittsburgh can't stop the run, right?
I mean, I think Kansas City gets to 17 here and probably calls it good. So I don't know. I mean, it's just so uninspiring. He is one of the most uninspiring players to watch play ever.
What about Najee? What about Najee?
Yeah.
I can't do it.
So you can't play Najee when he's chalk, right? But if he's not chalk,
he hasn't been chalk for a little while now, just because he's gotten priced up there and there's been so many good value plays.
Yeah, everyone's given up on him.
We
mentioned uninspiring Sony Michel.
Dude. So pissed to that I did not get paid. He was like 9% owned in Showdown last night.
Yeah, that was crazy how low owned he was on the two game slate. I noticed. I think he was like more like 16 maybe, but still, that was crazy how low owned he was.
My fault, and this is, I think it's common, is I get stuck in the DFS world. So I thought the Sony Michel reports that everybody in the DFS world knew about was going to be like commonplace, and Michel would get steamed up. Didn't happen at all. Henderson was like 40%. Michel was 15 to 20.
Are we not going to tout CPAT home against the Lions?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Playing like a stone cold running back. Yeah.
Could he rise up here?
He's just playing like a running back now. He's not even running as many routes, so they're just lining him up in the fucking I formation.
The problem is they're also using Mike Davis. I mean, Cordarrelle Patterson only had 13 touches last week. But could this be a spot where he rises back up? I think it could. And, I mean, what an awesome matchup. And people are probably going to be scared off by last week.
The game log watchers, man.
Silva, I need to take from you on the Patriots backfield. We saw the Bills get gashed by Jonathan Taylor and the Colts offensive line a few weeks ago. Can one of these guys put up a big spot here?
I thought I saw that Ramondre Stevenson did not practice today.
Yep.
And then Damian Harris is coming off of the hamstring. He did practice, but he also got into practice early last week, and by the end of the week, he was ruled out. I mean, these hamstring things can be tricky. You remember when he originally hurt it? I think it was against Indianapolis, right? Yeah. And he hurt it twice in the game. And then he had another setback this past week. So that's really tricky. So I don't know. I mean, it's just we don't have enough information right now.
Yeah. Yeah, and they
also Jonathan Taylor didn't really gash them. He had like 90 yards, and then
he got there late. He sucked out.
He had a 70-yard touchdown on the last play that they ran. I was going against Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, I was fading Taylor as well, and it was going very good until then.
Slandering Jonathan Taylor. Any other final running back plays before we move on here? Maybe a Javonte Williams mention.
I just want to definitively get this out there that if you play Rashad Penny this week thinking it's like a game theory angle, don't do it. He is literally made of paper mache. This guy, like, has he ever played a game and not gone off to go to the medical tent for like one thing? And also the Seahawks suck anyways, but I guarantee you he is good, because his snap shares were mostly fine. He was the lead rusher or whatever. DJ Dallas played some passing downs and got the goal line carry. But I mean Evan just bonked with 4K Rashad Penny 2 weeks ago, and I bet he wouldn't even go back to him.
No. Yeah, watching that last night was like, it's very frustrating, man. I mean, he leaves the game and DJ Dallas comes in and scores the touchdown. I mean, I played Rashad Penny on the two game slate, and that wasn't fun. But I wanted to mention Javonte, because Javonte, and I know that this is something that I don't want to speak for everybody, but we kind of like wish would happen, that he would, you know, just jump out in front of Melvin Gordon and run away with it, right? And it just hasn't happened all year, but he did get his nose out in front last week. I mean, he had 19 touches. Melvin Gordon had 16. Javonte played more snaps. He ran 19 routes compared to Melvin Gordon's 10. So that's a pretty, you know, that's good. And they're going to keep running the ball. Vic Fangio, there's no one on the planet that Vic Fangio hates more than Drew Lock. Hates this guy. He's rapping on the sidelines. You think 70-year-old Vic Fangio like gets a kick? You know, you think he thinks that's cute? No. Vic Fangio does not find it cute that Drew Locke is out here singing Young Jeezy, you know, and dancing. Okay? So they're going to run the shit out of the ball against the Raiders. The Raiders have given up like the 6 most fantasy points to RBs. The Raiders have scored 16 points or fewer in 6 of their last 7 games. They're playing the Broncos defense. You think they're going to run away, you know, run away with this game? No. The Broncos are going to be able to like execute their game plan, and their game plan is going to be to run the shit out of the ball so they don't have, you know, Drew Lock in there giving the ball to the other team. Javonte Williams, 17 to 20 touches. I think it's pretty safe.
I like it. And I don't think he's going to end up being too popular either, just because people are afraid of that split with Gordon. All right, let's head over to wide receiver. Obviously at the top, we have Cooper Kupp, destroyer of worlds. The man can just not be stopped. I assume he is going to catch a ton of ownership, even at 9,100, rightfully so. But it does seem like this is still a pretty good week on the high end. Tuttle, what are you seeing here at wide receiver?
Well, you got the Justin Jefferson bring back if you want it with the Cooper Kupp there, if you're paying up. We mentioned Diggs and how he's kind of been frustrating this season. I agree with that point by Davis, but this would seemingly be a spot where the matchup's not great, but the target should increase and be there. The other extreme chalk, not in the high end, but Antonio Brown obviously is just going to be, you know, mega. He's 4,900. He's going to be mega chalk.
Oh my! I didn't even see that he was 4,900. Yeah, yet. Jesus cheap. Christ.
Oh my God. Breshad Perriman is complete dust. I would not play him, and he might grab some ownership at 4,200.
I mean, bro,
didn't you see his touchdown?
Why do you hate game winning touchdowns?
I actually needed that. I'd play him in my captain spot. And I do have
really nice.
Yeah, I do have ETR to thank because some of my early best balls, Breshad Perriman was up there, and yep. He kind of did.
Thanks,
the whole,
Leone.
Yeah, thanks, Leone. He circled back around on the last week to help out the squad like a true teammate. But no, he's corpse too.
I mean, what do you think? He just had a game winning touchdown. What are you talking about?
That was his only target. Like,
buddy, Cam Brate could have scored that. Separation.
Yeah. So what's going to happen here is people that are going to play Breshad Perriman are going to be mad when Scotty Miller steals the show is what's going to happen. Is what I think will happen. I do think Perriman is, based on what we've seen with snap counts and things like that, I do think Perriman is fairly far ahead of Scotty Miller in terms of actually field time. But I think Perriman's bad. I really do. I mean, he got cut by so many shitty teams already this season, right? Like the Lions, yeah. the Bears. Like the Bears. He's not good. So yeah.
Yeah, but those teams are not good at evaluation either, though.
Yeah, fair. I mean, that's fair. But yeah, Scotty.
Are you? How dare you wear the run the damn ball hat and say something mean about Dan Campbell?
No, I like Dan Campbell. I like Dan Campbell.
I know you.
That's disingenuous hat wearing by you. You're joshing the hat to the people.
Yeah, I can't believe you would josh Dan Campbell to the people, bro.
Davis, can I interest you in a $6,800 Hunter Renfrow? Seems like your brand right there.
No, I cannot be. I cannot be interested in that. I also will not be interested in a $5,900 Russell Gage. I also will not be interested in a $5,600 Amon-Ra St. Brown. These are just all guys I think who are going to end up picking up a little bit ownership. Some of the probably Brandon Cook, 6,300, scores the 2 touchdowns last week. The bros, the spreadsheet socialists love to play Brandon Cooks. I will not be going in that direction. I will probably give Odell a couple of stabs this week. And you know, again, if the NFL does not give Kansas City favored status the way that it did to the Cleveland Browns, they are going to go to war in this game with Hardman, Pringle, and DeMarcus Robinson as their 3 wide receivers. I'd be pretty in to Pringle here at 3,300.
Silva, I'm going to give you a few names under 5K that isn't Antonio Brown here. Tell me if anyone stands out to you. Jacoby Myers, Kadarius Toney, Marvin Jones, KJ Osborne, Robbie Anderson, Josh Reynolds, any of that doing anything for you?
KJ Osborne. Yeah, KJ Osborne didn't do anything in this last one. Well, nobody did because Kirk Cousins threw for 87 yards.
Love the NFL product these days.
Yeah, not really. Again, I'll go back to Tyler Johnson. I think that Tyler Johnson is is interesting. Yeah. Oh, Elijah Mitchell just officially ruled out. Yeah, not on the main slate, but another week.
If you're playing that Thursday,
did you guys play Jeff Wilson last week?
I did not.
Dang.
Benched him for AJ Dillon in a couple spots. You don't love to see it.
A little too chalky for my taste, Silva.
I did the Galaxy Brain. He doesn't get goal line touches because Debo is too good.
Jeff Wilson was also in the Millie Maker lineup. So
what Silva's saying
too
is
chalky, just, though. Way too chalky.
What Silva's telling you is just play the best plays and it'll work out from there. All the game theory stuff that Michael Leone and everyone is touting, like that's all for children, really, is sort of what's going on there.
No, you got to mix in some of those guys, you know, but
look at this. This guy wins one tournament. Now he's just a GPP authority.
All right. You're right. I don't want to act like I'm an authority. I'm not a good DFS player. Like I'm legit not a good DFS player. So I should not act. I don't want to act like
do not let Pete bully you on this show.
No, but I don't want to come off as that either. Because I'm not a fucking authority.
Yeah. No, I mean, sometimes you just got to put Silva in his place. You know, he's feeling himself over there and you got to. Yeah. You know, after he came on my show,
I'm just out here spitting facts and data, you know.
Clip that right there.
Facts and data. All right. We are going to head over and build a lineup on FanDuel.com. Silva, just so people know, maybe let them know kind of the scoring setting differences, maybe stuff that is different from DraftKings if people are kind of navigating over here for the first time.
I have no idea. They're not the same scoring.
No, from my understanding, it's not. And the salary cap generally has a little bit different vibe as well.
Well, I don't know. Dude. I don't really play on FanDuel anymore, but Wiggins tells me that you could just like play all the, like you could literally fit in all the best guys every week. So yeah,
you can.
Silva used to crush the Thursday to Monday slates on FanDuel.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. Let's start with this time. Davis, I think you ended up going last time. Who do you want to kick off FanDuel with?
I mean, am I allowed to just go? You know what? I was gonna do Rojo, but I'll leave someone else to take that layup. I'm gonna take.
Hang on, real quick before you say it, Davis. Why don't we all just like Silva said? Why don't we all agree to just build a lineup with the best plays? Just full stop. None of this galaxy brain spreadsheet ownership bullshit. Just the best plays. What do you think, Davis? I'm just saying it might be a fun idea to just do that.
Okay, I'll take Jalen Hurts for $7,700 against the most pathetic organization in professional sports in North America, the New York Giants.
All right. Tell us how you really feel. Tuttle, are we gonna stack up Jalen Hurts?
No. We're shipping him solo. First time looking at FanDuel pricing for the week. James Robinson's 8,200. Just wanted to point that one out.
It's so random how they do that. Like some guys, they leave $1,000 too cheap for a whole season. And then some guys are like, all right, you're an $8,200. You're more expensive than DeAndre Swift now.
I mean, the 6 to 7K range is just absolutely stacked with running back options. So that's where I'm going to go. And I hate to do it because I did it in the last one, but I am going to do the correlation pairing for this team with Josh Jacobs and the Raiders defense against Drew Lock.
I don't know if the Raiders defense is that good of a play because of what Silva said. Like, how many times is Drew Lock even going to get to throw?
Oh, he'll have to, though.
I don't know, but in a scenario where they do get him throwing, you know, our D's going to catch a couple of them.
Right.
Right.
All right, so we went from the best plays to telling very specific stories with this lineup. Silva, give us – gold star lock of the week.
We are going to have to save some salary at some point. So let's just put in Tyler Johnson.
Okay.
Okay.
So we're playing the guy in the Godwin role on the half PPR site.
Yeah.
I don't know why we have to save money. I was told that you could literally play whoever you want. So I'm putting in Cooper Kupp.
Okay.
That's good what pick. I was told.
I'm getting that from Wiggins. You know, this is secondhand.
Yeah.
This is secondhand.
You can get a contact high from Wiggins. Lots of secondhand stuff coming out from over there. All right, Tuttle. Or no, we're back to Davis at the top.
All right. So I will give us a tight end play, and I'm going to take Dawson Knox stealing those sweet, sweet Cole Beasley 4.7 ADOT targets over the middle from noted NFL MVP candidate Josh Allen.
Aren't you worried about Dawson Knox just kind of with Josh Allen's 7.1 YPA?
Yes. It should work out for him, though.
As the YPA comes down, you know, and we got a small A dot, they start to correlate, comes up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. Tuttle, do you want to just make three picks and just finish this lineup like you seem to be doing?
No, I'll take one. And we're going to play David Montgomery on both lineups because he's way too cheap on FanDuel.
Double Montgomery.
What is he on FanDuel?
He's way too cheap.
6,600.
Wow.
In this economy? I mean. All right, Silva. We have 7,000 average remaining for a wide receiver and flex spot.
All right. I don't know who's available. I don't even have the FanDuel app, so.
You self-excluded by deleting the app?
You can literally pick anyone you want right now.
Yeah. Pick a name. Really? Who's right, someone who's set I mean,
let's
good.
Play James Robinson.
Oh, no.
He will be lower owned. That's
because of the salary. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Yeah.
Okay.
And that actually leaves us with a perfect correlation. We can take Devonta Smith to match with Jalen Hurts.
There we go.
I like it.
I like it.
I am tossing this in the 20K Sunday NFL squib. I know Silva will not be duping me because he doesn't play over there, but I am asking everyone else not to dupe me.
Please don't dupe him.
All right. We're going to head to tight end. Look at how efficient this show is. You know, sometimes with Kitchen rolling at the helm, you know, it drags on. It's an hour and 5 minute show. All of us only get paid for an hour. There's no need for that. We need a real hard out right at 3:30. Let's head over to tight end. Davis, what are you seeing at tight end this week?
I suppose it is fairly interesting that Mark Andrews is coming back in his record-breaking week, and he got such a price hike. He's more expensive on FanDuel, but I mean, Mark Andrews in back-to-back weeks has 38 and 31 DK points. He's got three touchdowns, over 100 yards in each of his last two games, and I still think he'll be single-digit owned, even with Kelsey off the slate, and more so if Kelsey does play, because they'll kind of split that. Because I think, and projections are very early, but I bet that Gronk actually ends up projecting better than Andrews on most sites.
Yeah.
So we haven't even said Gronk's name, but he's obviously going to be the biggest like target beneficiary of all these guys getting banged up.
Yeah, it's pretty good at the top end, right? I mean, if Kelsey plays, you got Kelsey, Gronk, Andrews. I mean, is there any hope for Darren Waller? I haven't seen what his practice reports are lately.
Hasn't been sounding good.
Yeah, he's been supposed to be back and practice every week, and then he never does.
Sad. What about Kyle Pitts against Detroit?
They finally targeted him a little bit in the last two games. I mean, I don't know. Not really. It's Russell Gage's team now.
Yeah. What do we have any of these punt play tight ends that we like other than Davis's Noah Gray play if Kelsey doesn't play?
Noah Gray to the moon. O'Shag.
Well, what about again? What about the other side of the Kansas City game?
Who?
They're down to one active tight end. Zach Gentry. who Sammy came on the show 2 weeks ago and touted, but they're Ebron's out, Freiermuth concussion, Kevin Rader is out, who I guess apparently has been in a game for them this year. So they're down to one tight end.
Oh, is it gonna be Jay Sternberger's music?
How about that? Would be really incredible if it was.
Zach Gentry is just a blocking tight end.
Yeah, he's blocking.
Yeah.
Yeah, watch the games just for
buddy, once. Buddy, these are the tight ends that people want to play in cash. People want to find a $2,500 tight end to get 4 for $40 so they don't have to think about it.
God,
what is a Dax Raymond? Anybody know?
I don't. Damn.
Is he related to Khalif?
That's the only other guy DraftKings has eligible.
He's a converted wide receiver.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, maybe watch the games for
damn,
once. So.
Damn, we just found generational wealth via sleeper. This is like when Demir Bird scored two touchdowns for the Panthers and Cal won $1 million.
Silva, can I play Brock Wright this week at 2,500? The Brock Daddy?
I don't think so. I mean, he's splitting with Shane Zylstra.
Sad.
Brandon Zylstra's brother, by the way, in case anyone was wondering.
A lot of holsters out there.
Dude, we got to find a min tight end in here somewhere. Someone's got to be playable.
Tyler Croft against the Jags.
Yeah, Croft is back.
No, still probably prefer the Irish Assassin.
All right, keep hunting.
Who's that? Who's the Irish Assassin?
James O'Shaughnessy. Tyler, by the way, fitting that we got a Tyler Croft mention here on the show, since he was one of Silva's best moments when he called him T-Rex arms.
No, was that Croft? No. That was Nick O'Leary.
Nick O'Leary. Yeah. Damn it. You're right.
He won the motherfucking Mackey Award. You know that?
No way.
With Jameis. Jameis was his quarterback.
That's right. I did remember he went to Florida State.
Yeah.
You know who's going to end up being the chalk of the tight end position again? It's going to be Kmet. People are going to play Kmet in cash again, which I don't know, man. What a bummer of a season for Justin Fields. It's not great.
No. Even worse for Trey Lance.
So if I wanted to use, you know, our promo code GrindersBet over at BetMGM and make a futures bet on the winner of the 2021-2022 motherfucking Mackey Award, do you have any picks for us here?
Yeah. Michael Mayer at Notre Dame or Brock, I think his name is Brock Bowers from Georgia.
That's the most tight-end name I've ever heard.
He's 18, though, Brock Bowers is.
Yeah, he scored 10 touchdowns as a freshman.
Yeah.
Like, what a beast. But those two guys are going to be absolute studs in the NFL. They could walk in the NFL and be starters today.
I like it. Brock Bowers, 6'4", 225, checking out this photo.
Well, he probably needs to put on some. He probably already has. He's probably 240 by now.
All right, I hope so. Yeah. He's the future of the league. Any other tight end takes here? Gerald Everett, anyone want to say anything about him?
No, I just really need this Noah Gray thing on the record because he's going to score a touchdown against Pittsburgh.
But Kelsey's vaccinated. I mean, aren't the odds that he...
Yeah,
please don't get political, Silva. Let's not get political.
I mean, that's what they said. They said that they were instituting a rule so the vaccinated players could get back, but none of the Browns came back. In fact, the Browns had to add more guys, and none of the Seahawks came back either. Lockett didn't come back. Like, it was... Yeah,
that's true.
So
it's not a guarantee.
No.
But. What about... We didn't stack up Hurts with Goddard, but Goddard had a real nice game last night.
He's crushing right now.
If I was these guys, man, I would, like... Shoot, I'd get it like on Monday, get put on the list, you know, and then you could probably get off the list by the end of the week. I mean, and then you're done.
I thought you were going to say
out of the woods.
I thought you were going to say if I was the Eagles, I'd feed Dallas Goedert, and I'd get COVID on Monday.
Just go to the club. Come on, guys.
Test positive Sunday after the game. Get your week off. You know, do some stretching.
Yeah. You don't even got to practice. Like, you could just. Hang out on the hot tub all week.
Get on the Peloton if you need to, and then, you know, just to stay right, and then you come back and you're good to go on Sunday.
So Silva, what you won the game changer 2 weeks ago. What contests are you normally playing these days? How many lineups are you building?
Just one. I just
one lineup.
Yeah. I'll play like the game changer or the Wildcat. I put that same lineup twice by accident. Such a donkey. Again, don't listen to me for DFS strategy takes, okay? But I put that same lineup into the Wildcat twice, and it came in like 39th or something in the Wildcat. So that was a nice little cherry on top.
But, you're the hand builder god.
You duped yourself in the Wildcat?
Yeah.
I love it.
Just play one and hope for the best.
Yeah. And, I mean, this is full on hand builder style, right? I mean, you're not messing with the spreadsheets with any of this stuff. It's just coming right from the gut.
Yeah. On the toilet.
Yeah. There you go.
He's the toilet builder.
At 11:50, at 11:50, you know,
that's great.
Just to own Levitan.
Right. Did you have any late swaps on that game changer?
No, yeah. Didn't even think about it.
So, I mean, when you hit the nuts, you can just kind of set it.
You think Silva is late swapping, dude?
He's too busy. MVP bro now.
I was actually taking a nap between the first set of games and the second one, so I wouldn't even been awake to late swap. So
He's too busy literally cutting up film strips from the first game and pasting them together. He's got to get his film ready for the week, dude.
Dude, that'd be an incredible bit if you had Daigle like get the projector going and then Silva and his lazy boy and Daigle bringing popcorn watching the game too.
We need to get Silva and Daigle Tom Landry hats, you know, with the little card in it on the side or whatever. Like I feel like that'd be a good vibe for them.
Silva, any Super Bowl predictions for us? Why we have you here? What are we liking here in this playoff landscape?
I mean, the teams that I liked before the season were the 49ers and the Cowboys, especially the 49ers. And that was looking bleak for a while, but I'm feeling a little bit better about that. They need this win on Thursday night. The Titans are very beatable, but I mean, you know, they can't mess this up. So, I mean, I may as well stick with the 49ers. And then in the AFC, I mean, you know,
be brave, say the right team,
Kansas City. I mean,
why is that brave?
Because no one wants brave. Everyone wants to say it's the Patriots. Everyone in big NFL media just want, like, people just want to be like, it's the Patriots. Mac Jones is the next Tom Brady. Belichick found his quarterback. And it's just,
the Chargers would be a lot of fun because like media week would be interesting, you know, talking about all the analytics, and Brandon Staley's such a smart guy. Like, and Austin Eckler is the coolest dude. Isn't he the coolest dude?
Yeah.
And Keenan Allen, I mean, you know, he's had some great quotes this year. Just throw that motherfucking ball right here. You know, like what did he say? Like, throw me the motherfucking ball or whatever. Like, I don't care what speed it is. You know, Derwin James, you know, and they're a really interesting team, you know.
Silva, who gives the 49ers a better chance to win the Super Bowl, Jimmy Garoppolo or Trey Lance?
I mean, Garoppolo's played pretty well. When you have Deebo Samuel, George Kittle, and Brandon Ayuk all healthy and rolling, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo is a product of his, you know, the sum of his parts. Like,
but so are all quarterbacks, and that's what the popular analysis misses about Jimmy G.
Yeah. I mean, Jimmy G is like, I don't know, he does two or three like stupid head scratching things per game, but I mean, I think that if you put Trey Lance in there, he might do 5 to 7 stupid things. And Trey Lance, one of the reasons that the 49ers really loved him is because of his football IQ was so high, but he's just not ready to play yet, which is understandable after he had, like, I don't know, 300 dropbacks or something in his entire college.
He played one game in the last 18 months before he got drafted.
Yeah. So he was at a disadvantage coming into the league. I do think that's a rare instance where, you know, a quarterback needed to sit. Usually I think you just let them take their lumps. But I think with him, I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo has been playing pretty well for like a 6-week stretch. And again, when you have the healthy parts around him, he can be that point guard, that distributor.
Yeah.
I mean, we've already seen Jimmy G in a Super Bowl, and he blew it in the biggest moment of his life, and he'll do it again if they get there. So,
Tuttle, any final thoughts on this week? I know you have a hard out here in 4 minutes.
Yeah, I got a hard out, so we got to move things along.
He's got to update NBA projections for guys who are going to be ruled out 5 minutes after.
NBA is terrible this time of year. Make sure you get Wiggins touting more often over there.
Yeah. Wiggins gets way too many days off.
I saw that Joe Johnson got signed back in the league today.
Yeah, ISO Joe.
You sure did, bud.
Are you serious? That Joe Johnson that used to play on the Hawks?
ISO Joe.
And he's supposed to actually play tonight, too. I mean, we're getting all sorts of names. Isaiah Thomas is back.
I can't believe Michael Beasley isn't back. Like, how is Michael Beasley not signed?
Oh, he's probably too stoned. He couldn't pass a drug test right now.
I don't think you have to pass weed tests in the NBA anymore.
What was his great quote? I'm your favorite player's favorite player.
Super. He got super cool Beasley tattooed on his back.
Love it.
Stud.
Love it.
I have a terrible take real quick.
Oh yeah, yeah.
We didn't talk about him. No fun playing this guy. It's finally a Jameson Crowder week.
Wow.
He had a 30% target share last week.
Davis, you didn't mention him in your slot wide receiver hate. You mentioned Amon-Ra, Renfro, who is the other one, but you didn't mention Crowder.
You love him. I can't. I will not have my name associated with Jameson. Now, ever since Laird put me in the dumpster after I played Crowder that week, I just can't.
Dude, Laird continues to body bag you on Twitter once a week.
So good for my brand.
Silva, any final takes, mic drop takes here? We do appreciate you coming back to your old stomping grounds and gracing us with your presence today.
No, I'm very thankful that you invited me back, though. That was, you know, when I got that text, like, I was like, yeah, let's do it, you know, no hesitation. But hey, Tuttle and Davis, I missed you guys. Well, Davis, I have a text thread, so I'm always talking to Davis. But Tuttle, I missed you a lot. Hopefully I can make it to the Roto Grinders party whenever that is. Yep. This year. Overzet, you're like one of the most talented individuals in the industry, so shout out to you, man. I miss Sammy Reed too a lot.
I know.
And of course Kitchen.
Well,
you didn't have to add Kitchen.
We didn't have to lie.
I was feeling good until the Kitchen. I was feeling like he actually missed me, and then you had to throw Soccer Dave in there.
Well, you know, as ritual, when Kitchen isn't here, if you guys have any thoughts on kind of like the flow of the show without him, you know, we're always trying to tweak with different configurations. Let us know in the comments how this show worked relative to the standard show. Shout out to Evan Silva. You can find him behind the paywall at Establish the Run. For Davis Maddock, for Mr. Tuttle05, aka Dan Gaspar, I'm Peter Overzet. We'll see you guys next week.